Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with one of these incidents where we take something from my Louisville magazine column, Smiley's Picks, into the studios of WUOL to talk live with one of the participants. And this is something which went under my radar screen when I was writing my February picks. So I'm delighted to welcome to the studio John Austin Clark, who's director of Bourbon Baroque, one of the most adventuresome, I think, and creative of the many young groups which are enlivening Louisville's performing arts and music scene. It's always seemed to me, Austin, that your particular forte is collaborations. You come up with the most interesting notions of other groups to work with to synergistic effect. I mean, I'm still reeling from your Bach Magnificat last fall, and now what's coming up?
Well, our next collaboration will be with the Squalus Puppeteers, an organization that's celebrating their 15th season this year, and we are producing an opera by Jean-Philippe Rameau, a one-act opera entitled Les Sauvages, in collaboration with the Squalus Puppeteers.
And since musicology is not my strongest suit, I'm not quite sure what is, but I know that Les Sauvages, in fact, is the fifth act, is it not, of a much longer opera called Les Indes Galantes.
Yes, it's the French Baroque opera form is divided into what they call entrées or acts. And even in addition to that, they have a prologue. So French Baroque opera can last quite a long time. This is the sort of quintessential long opera genre, the French Baroque opera. But we are performing only one of those entrées. It's about 50 minutes long.
Yeah, I think one has to understand when you look at the incredible length of works of art in those days. And, of course, in Shakespeare's age and going back to Greek drama and things, you know, people say, well, how are we going to put that in a three-hour time slot? The fact of the matter is that people in those days had a different leisure scale, didn't they? I mean, you went in the early afternoon usually to the theatre and you were still there at 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly. It was a completely different time period with a very different length of attention span. So there wasn't much offered. So this was kind of your outing. And in addition, they weren't necessarily performed all at once. Sometimes things were divided up. So we can't assume that everything was always a big five-hour extravaganza, but quite often they were, because that was what was happening.
Yes, I'm reading currently actually a biography of Bernini, who was the greatest architect of the Rome Baroque, you know, designing churches and the Baldacchino and St. Peter's and all that kind of stuff. But he also loved to design for the theatre, because it was an opportunity to create in papier-mâché and impermanent materials some of his greatest extravaganzas. And these were very large-scale works involving singing, dancing, above all design, I think, costume making. Now, how do you cope with such huge resources in the comparatively Spartan surroundings of the Water Tower?
Well, there will be quite the load in and quite the load out for this production. We have a fantastic tech crew with lights and set, and of course, all understanding that the real spectacle of the entire performance will be the large 10 feet tall puppets that Squalus have been making for the past several months.
Well, I think this is where the collaboration really touches on genius, because I think the notion of involving Squalus puppets is truly brilliant. And the reason I say that is because I know it's very much a fantasy theme. It's about an Indian girl, an American red Indian girl, who's loved by three guys, a sort of pompous Frenchman and a passionate Spaniard and a Native American Indian. And which will she choose? That kind of stuff. It's a marvelous story. So to create these larger-than-life characters, I think it's a brilliant notion to involve Squalus puppets.
Exactly. And what actually Sean Hennessy, who's one of the directors of Squalus, had the brilliant idea of taking the story, which is a pretty standard love story, and how are we going to make this exciting and very captivating? Well, Sean had the idea of turning all the characters into animals. And these animals, of course, have cultural significance with whom they represent. So the French character has become this Mick Jagger type peacock, and the princess actually has become the well-fabled and heroic symbol in the Native American culture, the white buffalo. And
right.
So we have a white buffalo potentially choosing between a coyote, a peacock, a horse. It's going to be great.
Yes, it's very entertaining. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not exactly the eternal question, but if anyone were to be daft enough and say, how would you introduce Baroque opera, for God's sake, to school children or to... this is the way.
It's one of the ways, for sure, I believe.
Yes, and I know it's not available to the public, but there will be a student matinee of this on the 4th. Let's get some details down. The performances are at the Water Tower, and it's Friday the 24th.
Friday the 24th at 7 p.m., and then also our last performance will be the next day, Saturday, February 25th at 7 p.m.
Will we find this musically, I know the answer to this question, will we find this musically strange or peculiar? Will our ears take a little time to adjust to it?
There is a healthy balance in this entree, Les Sauvages. We've got, it's of the late Baroque, so we have all of those wonderful dance rhythms. We have timpani and trumpets and woodwinds and a full string band. So there's a lot of very vibrant music, but also there's different styles of music that are very French Baroque, very light, and air de cour, which are very songs of the heart and very stylistic of the French. So there's a healthy balance for people who want to hear that familiar Baroque full orchestral sound, and also those who want a very intimate experience.
I think if one knows nothing about Rameau, and let's be fair, I mean, a lot of our audience will not be familiar with Rameau. Others will be asking us which of the Rameaus, because there were one or two of them, weren't there? I think the best bet is to go first to YouTube and type in Rameau, R-A-M-E-A-U, and see what it brings up. But it certainly brings up some truly dazzling examples of stagings in France of Les Ingalantes. And I think where you've been so clever, if I may say so, is to substitute one form of spectacle, in this case 10-foot puppets, for a large-scale and unaffordable type. Whence the idea? What prompted you to do Les Ingalantes, and why Les Sauvages?
Well, we were really inspired by the sort of rustic, well, the title gives it away, the savage nature of this libretto. And we knew that Squalus had a very rustic approach to how they created their puppets. The puppets are made from quite literally junk, and they pull these things together and they turn into fabulous structures that are no longer junk. And that's their business model's fabulous because they keep everything quite affordable, but the way they achieve their product is unbelievable. So that business model paired with what we wanted to reflect out of this libretto was a perfect match.
Yes, I think it's a real example of synergy where you're bringing a lot to the production and so are they, but the combination is greater than the individual parts.
Exactly.
The music, in fact, when I pose my own question, the music, in fact, is very attractive. It's very rhythmic, and the French always had a great passion for dance, didn't they? I mean, any opera performed in France always had to have dance in it. So there's some great dance rhythms and some beautiful melodies.
Yes, they're typical of the French Baroque opera. The opera usually ends in this grand, huge orchestral chaconne. And so I don't want to give too much away,
no.
But we do, of course, there is the wall between the musicians, the singers, and then, of course, the puppet stage. At that point, though, we do plan on having sort of singers and puppets unite in the grand chaconne that ends the final.
Well, and it is a splendid. It is a splendid finale. I'm so intrigued by your ability to find really funky. Well, they're not really funky, but unusual locations. I think that's so important. You know, if people aren't going to come to Baroque opera, then Baroque opera is going to have to go to them. And tell me about what prompted the idea of the Water Tower.
We've performed in the Water Tower a couple times before, and people are always very critical of it because they're like, well, oh, I've heard things there before and they were amplified and I couldn't hear anything. And I was like, oh, but you don't understand. This is perfect for our acoustic because there is no amplification. We take the natural acoustic of the Water Tower, which is like a 2.5-story atrium with a nice sort of dome almost at the top of that gallery, which we will utilize with the lighting. So the very wet acoustic they refer to is going to be quite appropriate for our instruments.
We've been talking to Austin Clark about Les Sauvages by Rameau, an opera he's presenting with Bourbon Baroque in collaboration with Squalus Puppeteers on the 24th and 25th, Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. in both cases, February, of course, at the Louisville Visual Arts Association at the Water Tower. Austin Clark, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.